Part 3. Chapter 9. No mistakes, no escapes.
That's the ship?
Beck said.
Yes, ma'am.
The stormtrooper beside her, a corporal now commanding the squad in Torrent's place, sounded dubious, even through the speakers on his helmet.
It doesn't look like much, ma'am.
Beck nodded slightly, agreeing. The ship was a YT-1300, as Captain Hove had reported. To her eye, the ship hadn't seen a good day since it came off the Corellian engineering line all those years ago. Paint seemed an afterthought to its owners, and the innumerable dents and scratches along the hull made the ship look not as much used as abused. Another of the squad stepped up and pointed a handheld scanner at the vessel, taking a quick reading from stem to stern.
They've modified the IFF transponder. A lot of noise. Can't get a positive ID. It's broadcasting as lost and found.
Take its silhouette and send it up to Vehement, Beck said. I want a positive identification.
Yes, ma'am.
Beck pulled her comlink and keyed it.
Sergeant, this is Beck. We've found the ship. Report.
There was a burst of static. Then Torrent's voice came through, oddly smooth in the absence of his helmet speakers, even over the comlink. She could hear the howl of a speeder engine and the wind.
As you predicted, Commander, the bounty hunters headed directly to another of the berths, then proceeded from there into the city. I acquired a swoop bike to follow them. They went to a low-rent hotel on the Motok south side, near the edge of the dome, and entered the building. I remained outside behind cover. And you were right, ma'am. Wasn't more than 3 minutes later the two we encountered on the promenade exited with a third human, the hunters in pursuit. I wasn't able to positively ID, but I'm certain it's EMAT.
They're being pursued?
Not at the moment, though two of the bounty hunters are certainly going to follow.
Only two?
I had to exercise initiative to execute your plan as required, ma'am.
Discreet, I trust?
Very discreet, ma'am.
Which ones?
The Grod and the human had to be neutralized to allow the quarry to escape.
Beck didn't bother fighting the smile she felt, though she kept it small.
Let me know when they reach the port.
Understood.
She paused.
Very good work, Sergeant.
Thank you, ma'am.
Beck tucked her comlink away, then turned to the trooper with the handheld.
Anything?
Coming in now, Commander. Ship is identified as the Millennium Falcon. Owner of record is a Corellian wanted on multiple counts. Everything from smuggling to impersonating an Imperial officer. Name of Han Solo. Ship has a registered co-pilot, a Wookiee known as Chewbacca.
The trooper turned the handheld to Beck, showing her the screen where two file images of a human and a Wookiee were slowly rotating.
The two from the promenade, Beck said. Excellent. Corporal, I want all Imperial units on this location immediately. When they arrive, position two squads around this ship. The remaining units are to take cover outside of the bay to cut off their retreat. Make it very clear that the units outside the bay are to remain concealed until I give the order. We don't want to scare them off before they're in our trap.
The stormtrooper nodded, his helmet tilting up and down slightly, then moved off quickly to call in the other squads. Beck gazed at the ship a moment longer, then began a slow walk around it, examining it from all sides. She disliked it on principle, and disliked its owner even more as a result. A ship, she felt, should reflect pride of ownership. A ship should gleam. A ship should be maintained in the best of all conditions. This ship looked as neglected as she had been in her own childhood. She felt no sympathy and no pity for what she planned to do to its owners. As for the ship itself, it would be best to impound it as Imperial salvage and melt the whole thing down. It would be a mercy, she thought. Her comlink trilled.
Beck!
5 minutes out,
Torrent told her.
They're moving fast.
Understood. When you arrive, assume command of the units on the promenade. You'll lead them in on my signal.
Yes, ma'am.
Beck finished her circuit around the freighter and saw that the reinforcements had arrived and were now being deployed as she had ordered. In total, she had more than 40 stormtroopers in position and waiting, more than enough to deal with 3 enemies of the Empire. Beck took a moment to order a couple of the troopers precisely where she wanted them to wait, then took another look around the docking bay. With the stormtroopers in concealment, everything appeared as one would expect. Mundane, even boring. A single door, recessed opposite the bow of the ship, led into the bay from the promenade. She paused to study the door and noted that the lights above it were glowing blue. That wouldn't do, she realized. They'd left the door into the bay unlocked. Something Solo and the Wookiee were bound to notice.
Trooper, she said. Lock us in.
Yes, ma'am.
Beck took a position behind one of the landing struts to the fore of the ship, where she wouldn't be spotted when Solo, his Wookiee, and Emat arrived. Her stomach ached gently, in anticipation and excitement. This was, she reflected, turning out to be a very good day. The trooper at the door finished working the panel, and the lights went from blue to red, indicating the lock had been thrown. No mistakes, Beck thought. Not this time. 3.5 minutes later, Beck's comlink called for attention again. She had it in her hand and brought it immediately to her ear.
Beck!
Heading your way!
Get into position! Out!
She turned to address the waiting stormtroopers, raising her chin slightly to help project her voice clearly.
All weapons are to be secured on stun. We want them alive. I repeat, we want them alive. One is a Wookiee. It will take multiple shots to put him down. No one is to fire unless I give the order.
There was the immediate, muted clatter of stormtroopers in armor as each checked his E-11, making certain the blaster was set to stun.
You are stormtroopers, she said. You are the keenest weapon in the Emperor's arsenal. Do not fail him. Do not fail me.
From her comlink, Torrent's voice.
On approach. 20 seconds.
Your status?
In position.
Wait for my order.
Yes, ma'am.
Beck put her comlink away, drew her own blaster, and double-checked the setting, confirming she was locked on stun. This time, there would be no mistakes. This time, there would be no Rodian willing to die to protect the Rebel Alliance. This time, everything was going to go as planned. The lights over the docking bay doors switched from red to blue. Beck raised her free hand and held it aloft. All around the docking bay, she could sense the stormtroopers tensing with anticipation, with excitement. She was feeling it herself, her heart beginning to quicken in her breast. She closed her eye and switched her cybernetic one into full spectrum, just in time to watch the door snap open, to watch her quarry walk into the trap. The one identified as Solo was leading. He was tall and surprisingly handsome, wearing boots, trousers, an off-white shirt that looked like the tunic worn beneath an Imperial officer uniform, and a black pocketed vest over top. He turned as he entered and walked backward for an instant, speaking to the two who followed him.
She's fast, Solo was saying. You've never been on anything faster. We'll be okay, I promise.
The second one to enter was Emat, and the data stream from Beck's eye lit immediately with alerts as the cybernetics and the computer agreed on the identification.
Wanted for crimes against the Empire. Extremely dangerous. Approach with caution.
All the things Beck already knew. And there he was, 20 meters away and coming closer. She fought the urge to hold her breath.
She better be, Emat said, because she looks like she needs a tow.
The Wookiee, taking up the rear, growled a response that echoed softly through the cavernous space. He was small for his species, yet still well over 2 meters tall. Covered head to toe in a pelt that ranged from blonde to chocolate brown, with touches of brass and gold, and was curly in places, straight in others. The bowcaster in his hands made him look that much more imposing.
"We're gonna be fine," Solo said. "Trust me."
Beck lowered her hand, giving the signal to the troopers to move. And before she'd finished the gesture, she could hear them, see them, all going into motion. They stepped out from behind the landing gear, from where they'd been concealed behind the fueling pumps, the storage crates, the load lifters, the mammoth generators for the magnetic shield that served as the roof to the bay, keeping Sirkon's savage atmosphere out. They slipped from the shadows at the far walls and rose up from where they'd been hiding in the scaffolding above. They moved in near perfect unison, the sound they made terrifying and certain. And the thrill Beck felt as she came out of cover herself was as close to joy as she would ever allow herself. The Corellian, Solo, reacted instantly with what was, to Beck, undoubtedly the quickest draw she had ever seen. His hand was empty, and then it was moving, and then the blaster he wore on his thigh was free of its holster and in his hand and coming up. The Wookiee and Emat weren't as quick, but they were fast. None was fast enough. Beck already had her blaster pointed at Solo.
"It's really not worth it," she said.
The Corellian looked like he was considering arguing the point. For a moment, she thought he might actually shoot her. Emat and the Wookiee both pivoted, turning back to the exit to look for an escape. Solo started to turn with them, then stopped as Torrent, still without his armor, but now with his E-11, stepped into the open doorway, the remaining stormtroopers from outside at his back. They flowed into the room like water, surrounding Solo, Emat, and the Wookiee.
"It's over," Beck said.
Solo looked back at her. He sighed and reholstered his blaster.
"Yeah," Han Solo said. "I guess it is."